Archilite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Archilite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is an articulate spokesman in the media and before legislative committees on conservative and pro-family issues, and was named one of the 100 most important women of the century by the Ladies' Home Journal. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
On this 4th of July, I suggest that all Americans go on the Internet or get out a World Almanac and read the Declaration of Independence. On this birthday of the United States, let's all become knowledgeable about the fact that the Declaration of Independence is America's great religious document. The Declaration of Independence is the official and unequivocal recognition by the American people of our belief and faith in God. It affirms God's existence as a self-evident truth that requires no further discussion or debate. The nation created by the Great Declaration is God's country. The rights it defines are God-given. The actions of its signers are God-inspired. The Declaration of Independence contains 5 references to God: God as creator of all men, God as the supreme lawmaker, God as the source of all rights, God as the world's supreme judge, and God as our patron and protector. The Declaration of Independence declares that each of us is created. If we were created, we must have had a creator. The Declaration of Independence declares that each of us is created equal. This means equal before God. As the modern discovery of DNA confirms, each of God's creatures is different from every other creature who ever lived or ever will live on this earth. The Declaration of Independence proclaims that life and liberty are the unalienable gifts of God, natural rights, which no person or government can rightfully take away. It affirms the purpose of government is to secure our God-given, unalienable individual rights, and that government derives its powers from the consent of the governed. For the first time in history, our Declaration reduced government from master to servant. Knowledge of our Declaration should be required of all school children. They should be taught that many of the men who signed it paid for their courage with their lives and fortunes.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. If you'd like to find out more reasons why the Declaration of Independence is a religious document, then write to Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Ask for Mrs. Schlafly's view on the Declaration of Independence. Once again, that's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us each weekday as we explore today's most important issues on the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, now the man who says, had this been an actual emergency, he would have screamed, ah! Derry Brownfield!
Well, hello, not Derry Brownfield, but maybe a guy who would have screamed anyway had there been an actual emergency. John Davis sitting in on this 4th of July for Derry Brownfield. Glad to be here. Glad that Derry's given me the chance to sit in here with you on your 4th of July, Independence Day. Of course, 4th of July, 2005, a day when most of us celebrate our nation's independence. Now, back 1945, Independence Day, Americans were also celebrating their independence, happy that the war in Europe had just ended a couple of months earlier. They were well aware, though, there was a lot of work to do in the Pacific Theater. During the summer 60 years ago, American military planners were planning the invasion of Japan, called it Operation Downfall. That's a task they estimated would take 3.5 million men, could cost up to 1 million American lives. Untold number of Japanese that might have died in that as well. The plan would be to start on the southern island of Kyushu on the 1st of December 1945, and they'd have subsequent invasions on the main island of Japan that following spring. Quite a task in front of them when you consider the size and scope that they were facing. I'm sure many Americans were well aware in that summer of 1945 that the fight in Japan would be bloodier than the battles that led the Allies to eventual victory in Berlin in the spring of 1945. But imagine being one of those battle-hardened American warriors. You just island-hopped your way across the Pacific. You're going to face Japanese soldiers. And remember, now on these little islands, they were sacrificing it all to stop the invasion just on those little islands. Islands that they didn't consider their homeland, that they were just holding because it was an airfield someplace, something that they thought that they needed to do to keep from the main invasion of hitting Japan. Now, these same American soldiers, Marines, and sailors who'd faced the Japanese on these little islands, they were facing them on the Japanese home ground, sacred ground to the Japanese. Back on the home front, Americans had to know what could be facing them. Among those, our guest today, Merle Nash. Merle, welcome to our studio.
Well, thank you very much. My pleasure indeed, John, of being here. I was just a young man at that time and was facing the draft. Knowing that, you know, I heard all of these stories about the war. I had friends, you know, and relatives, 2 brothers that had served overseas and came back. One of them was injured quite seriously. And so I knew that I was facing it next. And so it was a big thing to me as an old farm boy, knowing nothing about the outside world, but knowing that I was soon to learn.
Now, you were 1945, the summer of 1945. You were a 17-year-old kid
that,
down on the farm in Salem,
right.
Missouri. And
that is right, near Salem, Missouri, and out on the farm. In fact, I'm from a very large family. There were 16 of us kids, 12 boys and 4 girls. Never 16 at home at any one time, of course, you know, because, in fact, I have a sister that was born after I got married. And one other, just a little bit of aside from this, John, is with family serving in the war, my father, as far as I know, held a state record at one time for having the most sons to serve in the Army at one time or another.
Really?
9 of us from World War II To Korea and Vietnam, 9 of us boys served in the military.
Man, now that is, I tell you, that would be unheard of. First of all, a family that large would be unheard of these days, but that kind of sacrifice and commitment by any family, just amazing.
Yeah, I have one brother that's he's still living in St. Louis. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. And had his feet frozen. A lot of the soldiers there actually froze to death. They were trying to outrun the Germans, trying to get ahead of them. And I remember I've heard him talk about he got up the next morning and there were just a little bunch of mounds of snow. And he'd go around and kick those little mounds to wake the people up. And some of them would just be stiff, you know, the soldier had died during the night. And others, you know, they would manage to get up and leave. And he had frozen feet out of it and got some disability. And then another brother was hit in Vietnam twice. And he is on 100% disability now.
Now, he was in the Vietnam War?
Yes, he was in Vietnam. Not the same brother now, a different brother. And he was in the Vietnam War, and so that's the only two that were actually injured in the war.
So if I understand you right, you're back home in Salem, Missouri, or just outside of Salem,
yes.
Missouri, on the family farm. Of course, you know that your brother has already been hurt in Europe.
That's right. Yes.
You also knew that that there was the Asian part of the war.
Oh yeah.
Still left
behind. We were. Do you know what's to us out on the farm like that, John, it was kind of a, you know, the unknown to us. We knew it was there. We knew what was happening. We heard all of these stories. And then, of course, they had things. They talked about Adolf Hitler, you know, and how what a mean rascal he was and all of that, you know. And they had little songs they would sing. I can't remember any of them now, but, you know, the soldiers that would come back would talk about the things they were going to do to Hitler and then walk up and do other things on his grave, you know, so to speak. And then with the Japanese, the same things. And they fought a little differently, I think, than did. They died to the man, you know, almost. And so we were facing something, a young man like me, the unknown, and facing an opponent that was a little bit unlike the bulls and the steers and the wild hogs, you know, that I dealt with out on the farm. But I knew I was going to have to do it.
And of course, as you mentioned, and we were talking before the interview. I think the casualty rate among the Japanese, what, 97, 98?
Yes, 97, 90. Yes, 97 or 98%. I heard one soldier tell me one time several years ago. He was a prisoner of the Japanese, and he had said something about that the Americans would win the war. And at that time, the war was going very well. I mean, we had begun to island hop and so forth. And he told this Japanese soldier, said, "We're going to win the war." And the Japanese soldier just laughed and said, "There is no way you're going to win the war." He said, "You surrendered. You surrendered to us, and we don't surrender."
We're going to talk more on that. Looks like we're coming up on a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Back. I'm John Davis, sitting in for Derry Brownfield on this Independence Day, July 4th, 2005. Thank you for joining me today. And a special guest in the studio with us today, Merle Nash.
Yes, thank you.
Young man from Salem, Missouri.
Right.
At least was 60 years ago, awaiting his high school senior year down on the farm in Salem. And also awaiting what his fate might be as maybe a member of World War II.
Oh, you know, we almost knew that it would happen. You know, it was just the thing. When you got so old, you were drafted. You went to the Army. They were taking everybody. And so I knew that what I was facing if the war continued. And, you know, and we heard stories, of course, about how, you know, brutal the Japanese were and to some degree the Germans, but we knew that the Japanese were more fierce fighting and so forth and accustomed to things such as jungles and caves and a lot of things of that sort that the Germans did not have or they didn't fight under. And I think the mood of the people back then, John, was different than it would be today because everyone was very patriotic. I mean, extremely so. Even you go out on an old farm, and very few people ever went by on these old back roads, and there would be a flags in the window, and there would be things on the wall, and they displayed pictures of their sons and daughters very proudly. You know, and they believed in the war. They were doing everything that they could personally to help the war effort. There was rationing, a lot of rationing. A lot of people today have no idea what we went through as far as rationing was concerned back then. Gasoline, you know, was rationed. Sugar, I don't remember what all, but several items, you know, were rationed. You couldn't buy but just a certain amount.
Now, of course, this was all precipitated by the fact that the Japanese had hit Pearl Harbor in December of 1941. You were, eighth or ninth grade probably?
Yes, I was about 14 years old when that occurred. And what a frightening thing. Now, Pearl Harbor, you know, that I knew that was a way off somewhere, but my goodness, you know, and this country is actually at war. And, of course, at that time, I had remembered and had talked with a lot of people that had actually fought in World War One, and they were telling me some stories and about the way they were. One guy that had killed a man, and he was telling about, you know, that he saw this man step out from behind a bush, and he said, and he shot at me, and I shot at him, and he said, and we both shot again, and they weren't, you know, they were a couple of hundred yards apart or maybe, and he said, and I suddenly realized I can't just shoot, I've got to aim first and then shoot. And he said, so I took time and aimed, and he fired at me one more time, he said, while I was taking aim. But he managed to kill the man, you know, or at least he fell over, and he said, and of course I ran the other way. It was frightening for us to think about facing that.
We will talk a little bit more about what Merle was facing and what he ended up doing when we come back from this break.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contacts experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone, and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH, and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger, and much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Back once again with our studio and the guest, Merle Nash, recollecting what was going on 60 years ago, summer of 1945. The U.S. was preparing for the invasion of Japan. Merle Nash was preparing to be a high school senior, but you also knew what was facing you.
Also realized that there was a draft board in Salem, Missouri, and that I was going to be called up and going to be going in and joining the couple of brothers that I already had in the Army at that time, and a brother that had survived the Battle of the Bulge in Europe, and another brother that was he was in the 82nd Airborne and had seen quite some battles also. And I had uncles, two uncles that were in, and, you know, I knew a lot of the people personally, you know, at that time who had actually been over and had been wounded one way or another and came back. They were not releasing just anybody and everybody, you know. They were keeping them. We were having all of these drives in order to save everything and that we could and not be wasteful and all of that. And everyone was affected in one way or another by that war. And as I said a little earlier, very patriotic. Everybody really supported the war effort. No one sat around blaming anyone, you know, or anything. They didn't talk about this president and did this and this president did that. They said the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and they started it. And we certainly didn't start anything in Europe that Adolf Hitler got started at. Do you know there was really, I guess, the major powers, it was the Axis versus the Allies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about the same number of countries that fought in World War II that had fought in World War I. And now the Axis, I guess, would just be like Italy and Germany and Japan. That's really about the only ones of any big importance. And then everyone else was under the Allies and United States. So I was dreading it and knowing that I was going to face it, but still, though, I felt it was a duty, and I finally did volunteer, you know, then and go in after the bomb was dropped. I went ahead and volunteered and went in and served a couple of years.
Well, let's talk, you know, this summer, 1945, as you said, you knew that you would be facing the draft eventually. What was going through your mind as far as what you thought you would have to be doing in your part of the war? You knew Europe was over.
Yes, yes.
And you knew if you were going to go in, it was going to be Japan.
Yes, and, you know, and there seemed to be a lot of questions about Japan. It was, I think, we misunderstood the Japanese at that time more than we did the Germans, you know. We just didn't, they were, you know, of a little bit different color and a little bit different looks and so forth. And
the fact is you probably grew up around a lot of Germans.
Yes, 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 we did. Had a lot of Germans there. And so we kind of equated the Germans almost as like ourselves. But the Japanese were, and they were tenacious. They were fighters, you know. I heard a story about, in fact, one guy was telling me about him surrendering. Maybe I mentioned that a while ago, and said that he surrendered. Said, "We don't surrender. We do not surrender when we fight. We fight to the death." And that's exactly what they did, and that's what we were facing had we invaded Japan.
And that's what you knew you would be facing.
Yes,
as
yes,
a young man with
yes,
with a rifle in your hand.
That is right, and that's the way I pictured myself, is just with a rifle. You know, they didn't have the modern warfare, modern things that they have today. I figured, pictured myself on the ground with a rifle, with a bunch of ammunition, and trying to, and at night is what I was really concerned about. I could just visualize. Now, at night, it's going to be hard to see, and maybe they've got some way that they can maneuver in the night a little better than I can. You know, you have all of these ideas going through your head about what it's going to be like.
Were you scared?
So, yes. Yes, I was. Was I scared? Yes, I was. I don't know exactly how to describe it. I guess facing the unknown. I really can't tell you how I felt, other than that I was, yes, I was scared. My brothers and cousins had talked with me about it and how it was. And I knew that people were going to be shooting at me. You know, here I was on a farm, and I was accustomed to shooting at squirrels and rabbits. But now I was going to have a man shooting at me, and I was going to be shooting at another man. And it was a very frightening thing to think about.
How did you deal with that at the time? I mean, I guess, you know, now we analyze things and we psychoanalyze what we feel and all that. But what did you do then?
We just, I guess we considered it a part of life. It was just, it was a part of it. You had to accept it. You had to do your part. Everyone, as I said, was very patriotic, and they were doing their part to the degree that they could. They were rationing and saving on everything. I can remember my dad would walk great distances instead of using the car. He had an old car at the time, but he wouldn't drive the car because they need that gasoline in the war. You know, they need it. And So we if there were anything that we could have given to the war effort there on the farm, we'd have certainly been glad to do it.
We will we'll come back in just a moment. We're talking with Merle Nash. He'll talk about the events in August of 1945 that probably changed the course of at least what his young life would be taking. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Friends, we all want to live in a country where our individual freedoms and private property rights are not only preserved, but protected. That's the main purpose of the Paragon Foundation, protecting your private property rights while supporting the productive multiple use of public lands. But more than that, Paragon goes to bat for you to keep your freedoms alive. The Paragon Foundation supports individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and the exchange of ideas related to their mission. But they need your help. So when you see private property rights being violated, call the Paragon Foundation. They'll make sure you have what you need to put out little sparks before they turn into big fires. But when those sparks burst into flames, they'll be there fighting for your private property rights. Support the Paragon Foundation today by calling 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877-847-3443. Derry Brownfield here to tell you why the Aeronizer is the most advanced air purifier available. What the Aeronizer does, it puts out higher forms of energized oxygen into the air, which oxidizes pollutants. It actually destroys airborne particles and removes them from the air that you breathe. The Aeronizer destroys viruses, bacteria, molds, and pollens. I mean, it kills them dead, making your indoor environment healthier and safer. The Aeronizer literally reaches into carpets, furniture, drapes, clothing, and porous materials to remove cooking, pet, and smoke odors. The Aeronizer is a safe, effective, and affordable solution to unleashing the natural purifying power of oxygen to not filter, but actually purify the air. To get the Aeronizer, call toll-free 1-877-605-9200. That's 1-877-605-9200. Or go online at www.aranair.us.
This is Mary Lou Retton. Lifeline Communications now gives you two ways to save money on your long-distance bill. You can choose either Lifeline low-rate long-distance or Lifeline's unlimited long-distance. With Lifeline low-rate long-distance, you get Lifeline's lowest rate ever, 6.9 cents per minute. That's lower than AT&T, MCI, or Sprint. There's no monthly fee, and you're billed in six-second increments. Then there's Lifeline unlimited. With Lifeline unlimited, you can make as many long-distance calls as you want. Lifeline Unlimited also replaces your local phone company, and you also get 10 of your favorite calling features, like caller ID and call waiting. But the best part about Lifeline Unlimited is that it costs as little as $49.95 a month. And don't forget that a portion of your payments to Lifeline will be donated to any Christian organization of your choice.
Call 1-800-311-2648. Taxes, fees, and surcharges not included. Terms and conditions apply. Zetel is the telecommunications provider of Lifeline Unlimited.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show. And here's the star of the show, now the man who says he not only uses all the brains he has, but all that he can borrow. Derry Brownfield!
Well, it looks like Derry has borrowed another brain for today, although quite small in its own respect. John Davis sitting in on this Independence Day, July 4th, 2005 with you. Joining us in the studio has been our guest this hour, Merle Nash, a man from Salem, Missouri, 17-year-old man back in July of 1945. Now, maybe a few more years under your belt, Merle.
A few, yes. Certainly a few, a lot of experiences, and, of course, eventually went in the Army in World War II. Do you know, I think I mentioned a little while ago about the mood of the people. But it seemed as though, to some degree, we were being told or forced into doing things that we didn't really want to do, but that we had to do. I think that was probably the best way to describe the mood. We didn't want to fight. And, you know, but we knew we had to. I mean, there was no way out of it. You were just going to do it, so you might as well get in and do your part and get it over with. And that's, I think that's about the way that everyone felt. There were people that actually wanted to go and help get it over. Get it over with, and we were all frightened, and as I say, it was someone else in the world, like Hitler and Tojo and Mussolini and people like that, telling us what to do. And we didn't like doing what they told us to do, so we weren't doing it.
Now, what you were going to have to do changed probably pretty dramatically with events in August of 1945.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
When the atomic bomb was dropped, that was an awesome... Of course, we knew absolutely nothing about the preparation of that or the Manhattan Project or anything. That didn't filter down to the countryside where I was. But it was just that this awesome weapon. You know, there was talk all the time about Germany having an awesome weapon, a lot of weapons behind. And they did have. They had the V-2 rockets and all of that, and they began to drop those. They were working on jet aircraft. They had used jet aircraft during the war, and they were extremely successful with them. But the American people weren't told how successful some of those things were, because they knew it would frighten us even more than what we were. But we also thought that Japan was working on some kind of a secret weapon. And then we thought, aha, we beat them to the punch, you know, when they finally dropped that one, the atomic bomb. But then we were afraid that why can't the Japanese get that too? And I guess had they had enough homeland and security like Adolf Hitler, I firmly believe that they would have had an atomic bomb to put in front of those V-2 rockets and that. But I know that we had it, and I am mighty glad that we used it. I don't think you can talk, John, to any soldier, anyone that was in the Army at that time or served later, that would not agree that that was the thing to do, was to drop that bomb. We were looking at... in fact, one of the Japanese generals had said in a meeting of I don't know who all of the Japanese hierarchy had said, right now, he said, we can end this war. He said, just give me 2 million people. It'll cost 2 million lives. Now, he didn't say exactly what he was planning on doing, but it was almost like, I guess, a suicide thing, or like the kamikaze wound up then. But he said, give me 2 million men, and it'll cost us 2 million lives, but I can win the war. You know, and things like that, news of that sort got out, and people heard that, and they wondered, you know, what is he going to do? And then all at once we had the good weapon. It was on our side.
And, of course, how did you get the news that the atomic bomb was dropped? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, radio, of course, back then. I can remember when I went out. I was working in a sawmill, and I think I was actually cutting logs instead of working in the mill, you know, for the sawmill. And we didn't, our radio apparently, I don't remember, it wasn't working or something, and so I went to work, and they had dropped this bomb, you know, and A bomb, the bomb, it was called, you know, an atomic bomb.
Did that mean anything to you?
Well, not really, I guess, you know. It meant I could just imagine a terrible explosion, and then, you know, and it began to leak out just a little bit about the bomb and what it was and what it did. And then, of course, then they dropped the second one. And I'm sure that Harry Truman had a third one. All the people that studied that say that he was ready to drop one on Tokyo. The third one, he would have dropped one more on Tokyo. And surely that would have brought them to their knees. But, you know, I don't think the Japanese had any intention of surrendering when the atomic bomb was first dropped. Maybe not even after the second one, but then some of the people began to see, I guess, that they had no choice, that they had to surrender or really face annihilation, which didn't seem to bother them as much as it did us. It may have, you know, but to our way of thinking on this side, we didn't think that they really cared that much for life. that life was didn't mean as much. My life is important to me, you know.
Well, it was secondary in service to the emperor.
Yeah, that is right. It was the emperor was number one. You know, the emperor number one, I guess their country number two, and their jobs and money and income number three, way down the line. And that's the way they lived it. And it wasn't exactly that way. We'd had this all of this freedom trying to be wrested from us. And I think they probably faced things of that sort a little easier than we did. They were brought up to do that.
You hear the news that the atomic bombs have been dropped. A day or so later, President Truman comes on the radio and says that the Japanese have agreed to a surrender.
Yes.
What's your thoughts then?
Well, it was jubilation. I know that. It was just, hey, boy, now. In fact, then I wanted to get in the Army. You see,
really?
Before I was a little bit concerned about it, but now I wanted in the Army. I thought, hey, wait a minute. Now's the time for me to get in the Army, and I did, of course. I went ahead and volunteered and went in the Army. And I want to see some of the country and some of the world, and now I can do it without really too much fear of being killed or whatever. And so I did join.
Well, and in fact, you were stationed in Japan.
That is right. That is right. And there was not a building. There was only one building that was really standing on the whole island there, or of Okinawa. If you can imagine, you know, it was rubble, just pure rubble. Had a place called Suicide Cliff, where the Japanese, you know, had jumped off of that cliff and had killed themselves by the thousands. They lost a lot of people during that war. Of course, we lost a lot too. Would you be interested
sure.
in some statistics I
sure.
have here? This ran in the paper just some time back. It was in the local paper. And today, 1,150 World War II veterans are dying every day in the United States today.
Mm.
And when you figure up how many there were and how many there are still living today, it will be about 8.5 years before they will all be dead.
Mm.
And, you know, if they die at life expectancy. And, of course, I'll be one of those.
Well, let's you need to stick around for a lot longer than that.
Well, I'd like to anyway.
We need to come back every year and do this for a while.
Yeah.
Come back on the 100th anniversary. And
yeah.
But of course, you went to Okinawa in was it May of 46
yes.
or the
yes.
summer
yes.
of 46,
yes.
I guess,
May
a year
of 46,
after?
May 46. I went to Okinawa.
And you say they had a suicide hill or a suicide cliff where so many of them had jumped off?
Right. They jumped off. They committed suicide. It was called Suicide Cliff, where the Japanese had jumped to the jagged rocks below and had taken their own lives.
Well, why did they do that?
I think that they were realizing, there was some people realizing, you know, that the war was over for them, and they just... They intended to take their lives and instead of facing the Americans. I don't know what kind of stories they were told about us, you know, or how they viewed us, but they have viewed us certainly as not gods the way they viewed some of their own leaders. Around the island, there were ships sunk all around it, you know, and just part of the ship sticking out of the water. Only one building that was standing any at all, and it was a police headquarters kind of out in the middle, and it had a lot of pockmarks of small arms fire, and an old hospital had been made out of concrete, and we managed to patch it up. I was in what was called the Army of Occupation. I went over, and of course, as soon as, you know, as I got trained a little bit, we went over there to relieve soldiers that had been there. And there were still some of the Japanese coming out of caves and so forth when I was there.
We'll talk a little bit more about that experience when we come back from this break.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Hello. Hello, this is Christine with BringHemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring Them Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring 'em Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringhemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners opting down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my gray hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
And we're back in the studio with our guest today, Merle Nash. Merle, you were telling us before the break there that you joined the Army in May of 1946, I believe.
Yes.
Not long after the war had ended in the Pacific, and,
yes.
and you were sent to Okinawa.
I was sent to Okinawa. That is correct. And a little about 43-by-73-mile little island like, and it was total devastation when I got there. The buildings were just rubble, and the city of Naha, that's actually where I was stationed. There was a port there and everything, the city of Naha was gone. I mean, there was no city there. There was no buildings for the American soldiers. Of course, the ones that preceded me, they went home, you know, and they got out on, I guess, kind of war points or something like that, they called it. And I was then the Army of Occupation, the group that I was with. And we lived in Quonset huts, put up Quonset huts or big tents, did manage to, some of the old concrete bunkers or maybe like a hospital or something like that that wasn't completely gutted, managed to fix up a room or two of it for the officers to live in. But we all lived in little Quonset huts and everything. There was no power stations at all or anything of that sort. We had big generators. In fact, that's one of the things that I did while I was there is I worked in a little powerhouse running a big generator to generate electricity. Of course, the regular populace, they had no electricity, no running water on the island at all. You know, it just wasn't there. And the Japanese people that were there, We didn't have too much, you know. There was a non-fraternization law at the time, and there were a few people around us that worked for the soldiers, and it was just devastation. I have a brother that went to Okinawa later on, and sending back pictures, and I could not believe the pictures of Naha. It's just a bustling city, you know, and I'm sure that that's the way it looked prior to the Americans bombing it. We didn't have much to eat either. I don't know, you know, even though we were American soldiers, we seemed to have rice and fish heads and things of that sort, you know. But everything, even for us, was scarce on the island at that time. And it was just a big reconstruction project, more or less. And a lot of contractors doing work there. And in fact, I almost stayed on Okinawa. I'd signed up to work for a contractor over there, and it was just unheard of pay. You know, I couldn't believe the amount of money that they would have paid me to stay on Okinawa. But they had already started to process my papers to send me back to the States. And they needed me for a certain job they had. It had at that time started installing and repairing switchboards because, you know, they had no telephone service on the island. We brought back all of the telephone service that there was, and I had kind of had a knack for installing switchboards and things of that sort, and they sent me back to the States where they needed some installed at Fort Lewis, Washington. And so that's why they brought me back.
We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll talk more to Merle Nash, and maybe we'll compare this war today with the war from 60 years ago.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
The 21st century has brought a shift from a stock-driven era to a new commodity-driven era. That's according to USA Today, Wall Street Journal, and Swiss America. 4 years ago, Swiss America issued a simple 21st century investment commandment: thou shalt diversify assets to include tangibles. Now, USA Today and the Journal agree. Bottom line, we need economic solutions for the 21st century. In their new report, Discover, the keys to diversification, social security reform, gold and silver market trends, and why liberalism is dying. I've read this report, and you should too, so call now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-BUYCOIN to get this incredible, easy-to-understand report. That's 1-800-289-2646, 1-800-BUY-COIN to discover economic solutions.
What is sustainable development? You may have heard people talking about it in public meetings, on the radio, consultants and university professors lecture on it, and at various levels of government it may even be mandated. But what is it? Now get the pamphlet Understanding Sustainable Development Agenda 21. It's an easy-to-read 22-page booklet that will explain its origins, theoretical underpinnings, major programs, and the means by which it is implemented. Specifically, it refers to an initiative of the United Nations called the UN Sustainable Development Agenda 21. The most comprehensive statement of a political ideology that is being progressively infused into every level of government in America. Get the pamphlet Understanding Sustainable Development Agenda 21. Send $3, check, cash, or money order per copy to Agenda 21 Booklet, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023. That's $3 per requested copy to Agenda 21 Booklet, P.O. Box 79, Centertown, Missouri, 65023.
John Davis sitting in on the Derry Brownfield Show today. With me in the studio, we've had all our Merle Nash, a man from Salem, Missouri. Some of you in central Missouri might remember Merle. He was the anchor on the local newscast at KRCG in Jefferson City, Missouri, here where we're doing the show today. Merle, we've talked a lot about, of course, 60 years ago, the nation was preparing for the invasion of Japan during World War II. Of course, the atomic bomb changed all that, changed your course in life because instead of going in as an invasion force, you were able to go in as an army of occupation.
Yes, that is correct, and in fact, looked forward to going in and was happy to do it, and volunteered and sent me, of all places, Okinawa, where I could really see what had happened. In fact, there was a little bit of fighting still going on there, you know, very little. I was caught in one firefight, and people still coming out of caves and things, you know, that we had a garbage dump, not really just a place to dump the garbage. And I think the Japanese soldiers that were hid in the woods in the areas there, wasn't really wooded area, kind of the hills and a lot of tunnels and that. And there must have been some of them living there, and they were probably eating our garbage. I don't know. But anyway, they opened fire on us one day. We had a little guy from Boston who was sitting on the back of the garbage truck with his feet down in all of the garbage. We just used a dump truck, you know, and just took it, just dumped it out there in the open. And he was talking about, you know, he wouldn't mind getting involved in a little firefight, and about that time, you know, a bullet.
Yeah, he changed his mind in a big hurry, I'll bet.
And this little short guy, I can remember, he literally buried himself in all of the coffee grounds and all the gravies and soups and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Down in that truck, he just buried himself in it.
Well Merle, how does today's war, the war in Iraq, and the patriotism you see in this country today, compared to what you saw 60 years ago?
Well, quite frankly, I don't think that the patriotism doesn't seem to be there as much. There's a lot of old people like me that still are just as patriotic as I ever was. I've stood many, many times and witnessed the American flag being lowered, and I don't think I ever stood there without tears coming to my eyes when we brought old glory down. But I don't know if people do that much today or not. I don't know if we're the overall patriotism. Then everybody knew that that was a war that we had to end. Someone else had started it, forced it on us, and we were going to have to end it or live the consequences, you know, of being under the toe of Tojo and Adolf Hitler. And today, they talk now. You hear all the time about losing support and this and that. I really don't. We were careful today. We're so careful about hurting someone's feelings. So careful about what we do about religion, their religion, and so forth. We're concerned about all of these little things of that sort. I'm not saying they're good or bad. That's just one of the things that we take a lot of time thinking. Back then, we didn't worry about that. We didn't think about what we were going to hurt anyone's feelings or what was politically correct, or we knew what was not correct, and that was the Japanese.
and you took care of the job.
And we took care of the job. We did it. It was our duty, our obligation. We did it unquestionably. We didn't even question it. We just did it.
And that's why I believe people of Merle's time, known as the greatest generation. Merle, we appreciate you coming in here today and talking a little bit about freedom.
Yes, that's a wonderful thing.
On Independence Day, July 4th, 2005. I'm John Davis. I'm glad that I've been able to spend this time with you. Of course, I hope you enjoy your Independence Day holiday. You know, since it is Independence Day, remember freedom. Remember, you've heard it before. I'll tell you again, freedom is not free. Thank a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, or a veteran for helping you have this freedom. Thank you again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
About the clouds and we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.